Yo, what's going on, guys? This is Two.
This is Cal.
Welcome to Word to the Blurred, baby. What's going on, y'all?
What's going on? Word to the Blurred with Two and Cal. We kind of fucked up that introduction. It's been a while, but we are.
It's been a little back while. Like good cook crack, maybe. Well, not maybe with the cook crack, but it's good to hear. Well, sheesh, it has been a while, you know, trying to get our rhythm back into it. What's been going on with you, Cal? I know you started a job and it's been hard for us to kind of link up and record.
Yeah, I just started a job at this charter school working with fifth graders, so that's been keeping me busy. So I just come back tired every damn day, but such is life. What about you?
Well, as you guys know, I moved to DC. Still getting used to this DC life, but I've been having fun going to a couple concerts in the time that we haven't been recording. I went to go see her in October, and I went to go see this cat named PJ Morton in November, and that was really good. You know, big shout out to them cats. Also, just trying to figure out what exactly I'm getting ready to do with myself, especially, you know, coming out here and trying to figure out this whole Word to the Blurred and B major and just music in general. It's been interesting, you know, and just trying to figure out where I'm supposed to fit in. But this ain't a therapy session. This is a nerd podcast. So with that being said, we're going to start off with our first topic. I know we're a bit late on covering it, but we're going to talk about some James Bond, Die Another Day. Cal, what did you think about that, bro?
No Time to Die, you mean?
No Time to Die. Jeez. I was looking at Pierce Brosnan Die Another Day earlier today, so that got me. My bad.
Yeah, it was No Time to Die. Daniel Craig's final outing as 007, and I loved it. I thought it was a really good movie. Had me in tears at the end. I legit cried. The action was fantastic. I loved the music. I think I do need some time to sit, because if you would have asked me coming out of the theater, I probably would have said it's Daniel Craig's best, and I'm still kind of feeling that way. I just want some time to sit, and I do want to rewatch the movie and then kind of revisit some of the other ones or just think about the other ones. But to me right now, I think this may be his best 007 movie. What about you?
For me, you know, Casino Royale is my favorite one out of the series, you know, up until this newest one that came out. This one, I felt, definitely completed the whole story arc. This is, you know, you and I have talked about this, and we haven't been able to really share it on the air, but this was definitely its first serialized James Bond.
Yeah. And
I feel like they closed it up, you know, they closed that story arc well. You know, they put a perfect bow on it. He definitely went out as he lived, heroically.
And with a literal bang.
Oh, boy. Spoiler alert, he's gone.
Yeah.
But, I mean, by now, if you haven't seen it, I don't know what to tell you. Rest in peace to my man Felix, man.
Yeah. Guys, also spoilers, by the way. We are going to get into spoilers, but yeah. Rest in peace, Felix. That also got me, too. That got me pretty sad.
I was mostly invested seeing what's Jeffrey Wright in almost every Daniel Craig James Bond film. It was like you got used to him. He was like that uncle, that cool uncle that showed up at the family barbecue and shit. Like, he's like, oh, Uncle Felix, what's up, bye? How you doing? And just seeing, like, how he and James got closer throughout the whole series, and I just loved it. And I agree with you. I think this might have been, if not the best, and one of the best. I still consider Casino Royale, the first one in that story arc, to be, you know, the best. But for me, it would definitely be Casino Royale, No Time to Die, Skyfall.
Okay.
Those would be my three favorites from there. Because I didn't really like the second one too much. But that was during the writer's strike, so you can kind of understand why it was so
Yeah, and kind of going back to what you were saying, it is definitely the first kind of serialized, continuous story bond that we've ever had. And I think that's pretty cool. I didn't think about that exactly much
while the films were coming out.
But like now after I have seen it and think about it, how like there is kind of one overarching kind of story to it, I was just like, wow, that's actually pretty cool. You know, and it's a kind of a cool thing for the franchise, not something they need to necessarily go back to, you know, because usually all the other films are generally like, this is the one movie, it's very bookended, open and close shut kind of book thing, which is cool. But it was actually looking back on the franchise or this particular saga of films, it was very nice that this was like a, it was very episodic. It was very much the continuation of the Vesper Lynd storyline and Spectre and him becoming a 007. It was very good. It was very good. And also, what was I going to say? The music, I really love the music. The score by Hans Zimmer. And just like watching interviews and stuff with the director and stuff like that and how he kind of found inspiration from actually George Lazenby's movie on her, I think it was on Her Majesty's Secret Service. Like how Bond, it was more personal for Bond because Bond, you know, gets married in that movie and he ends up, you know, losing his wife in that movie. And this one's very personal because, you know, Bond ends up having, spoiler alert, he ends up having a daughter in this movie. And then there's even, I was actually listening to it and then like I actually caught there's musical cues from Louis Armstrong's All the Time in the World, which featured in that movie that they put into the score for this movie. So it was actually very cool and very kind of like throwbacks and connections to that particular Bond movie and previous Bond movies. But yeah, I thought it was really good.
I didn't even peep that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Put me on game.
We have ours. The time.
I definitely like the young lady that took over for him while he was retired.
Oh yeah, damn! I'm forgetting her name.
Oh man, I'm blanking on it too. She was dope.
She was good.
She's great.
She was very capable. Like she didn't take shit. You know what I mean? And she wasn't like an annoying character. Like I'm here to do this. It was like, you know, she felt realistic, and you know she could handle her shit, and then she kind of knew, like, it was kind of like a cool little nod, like, okay, like, I want to give 007 back to James Bond. I thought it was also pretty cool. Not exactly cool, but just, like, kind of like a funny thing where it was just, like, he was like, you didn't retire the number? He's like, why would we do that? You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of, the disrespect he kind of felt, you know what I mean? It was just like,
shit was like, on, bro.
Like, you're gone, bro. It's on to the next one. You know what I mean? So, I thought that was...
know your place, pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was cool.
Know your fucking place. But, also, this is a special month. Not only do we have Christmas, but we got... Spider-Man. No Way Home. A lot of December 17th, it is, right? It comes out?
Yes. It's either the 16th or 17th. Either way, it's definitely one of those two.
Man, this is going to be epic. This is going to be one for the books. This is going to be... you think it's going to be Tom Holland's last movie?
I don't think so. I think maybe
like he doesn't want to be in his 30s still playing Spider-Man. But one of the things is that Spider-Man has his most interesting stories outside of fucking high school.
Yeah, which is very interesting, which has always bothered me about these Spider-Man movies is that they always have to, it always has to be high school. And then maybe like there'll be like a film where he's in college. Because I think what the Tobey Maguire ones actually didn't show him in college, did they? No, they did. They did actually.
That was in part two.
Yeah, they did actually show him in college, but like his name is Spider-Man. Like so much of it is like him grown up. Even I'm sure the animated series, like I think there were parts in high school, but pretty much it was him working as a photographer for the Daily Bugle. You know,
he was in college in the one when we was kids.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think that's kind of weird, and I think that's what a lot of franchises do. It's like, okay, we made a bunch of movies now. Let's let's send them back to high school. Let's start over with the characters. Like, they don't want to let the superheroes age a bit. And I think it'd be pretty cool if they do that, you know. It's Spider-Man, so let Spider-Man be Spider-Man. That's just my two cents. I do think it would be good. I think we all know Toby and Andrew showing up, even though no one's confirmed it or denied it.
That's what I was thinking about. I mean, you have all these villains. Like, it would be a shame if you didn't have them. Like, why would you not have them? You already have William Dafoe and Alfred Molina from the Toby movies, and then you have... Also, you got Sandman, right?
Yeah, Jamie Foxx, Sandman's in it. The Lizard from Andrew Garfield's in it. Andrew Garfield's movies are in it. That's another thing that makes me a little nervous about the movie, is that it's really fucking jam-packed. Mm-hmm. Like, they're literally throwing the kitchen sink at it, and so you have all these villains, and then you kind of have to introduce the whole idea about the multiverse, and what is the multiverse? Then on top of that, you're planning on having Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, and then that's a, you know what I mean? Apparently this movie's going to be close to 3 hours. We'll see, but...
That's Endgame levels.
Yeah, it's a jam-packed movie. It's going to be a jam-packed movie for sure.
So that's why I feel like it's like Tom Holland's swan song. This could, if he doesn't do another one, I'd be very surprised.
I'm curious. I guess we'll see, because apparently they said something about him. What was it? Him, them wanting to do a whole other trilogy of movies. Mm-hmm. You know, like a second trilogy. I mean, I don't know. We'll see if that happens.
If he does that, that would be dope. I feel like that's something that you could work with, and it would be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anything else, you just make sure, whatever you do, just make sure it's good. You know, to make, maybe you're going to make Ned the Hobgoblin. Like, turn, you know, make a couple allies into villains. Make it worth my while.
Yeah, apparently someone's supposed to die. I don't know who, though. I can't really guess. And I feel like you can't do Mary Jane, because I feel like too often they do that whole trope where it's like, oh, Mary Jane died, or fucking... Gwen Stacy died. I mean, Mary Jane actually never died before, but the last trilogy we had, it was Gwen Stacy that died, so I don't think we need to just kill his girlfriend again and again. But maybe Ned will die, or maybe Aunt May will die, or maybe Happy will die. Yeah, but that's not enough of a dig if Happy dies. But then again, you would be clearing out a... another Iron Man connection, which would be fine, because that's nothing that's bothered me about this series of Spider-Man movies. It feels a lot like Iron Man Jr. And that's something that I always appreciate about the other two sets of movies, the other two, like, different Spider-Mans. It's just because they really stood on their own too. Well, of course, like, they weren't in the MCU, so, but it was really, they stood on their own too. It was just like, you know, it felt really more like the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. And I get that Spider-Man's been in space. He's done all these bunch of things in the comic books. But I like my Spider-Man, you know, to be the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man that, you know, he's not out to save the galaxy. He's just trying to save his block, or he's just trying to save the city. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. So that's one thing, the only gripe, one of the few gripes I have about these series of Spider-Man movies that we've now been getting, is that it just, everything has been, oh, it's Tony Stark technology. I got this from Tony Stark, you know, and Spider-Man's supposed to be, Peter Parker's supposed to be extremely fucking smart, you know what I mean? He builds a lot of his own shit. And that's something each of the previous movies have shown. They've shown his kind of ingenuity and his smarts, but we haven't really seen that in this new trilogy. Well, maybe we saw, like, maybe, I guess, when he was building his new suit in the second one, using fucking Tony Stark technology, but, you know, I do. So when people call him Iron Man Jr., I understand that criticism. And I actually agree with it, but I'm still gonna be seeing this movie, of course.
We'll see, because Andrew Garfield has, you know, gone on record saying he's not in it at all.
Oh, he's definitely in it. I mean, what else can you say? You can't, like, you can't be like, yeah, I'm in the movie, and I, you know what I mean? Because that's like their big hook point. They want that to be a surprise for people, even though people already know that they're in it.
That'd be very interesting, man. So speaking of movies, there's a lot of stuff, guys, that we're a bit late on. As you guys know, it's been a little while since we recorded, but there's certain things we wanted to make sure we touched on. So DC Comics recently put out, man, as recently, I would say, as far as maybe 2 to 3, maybe 4 weeks ago, put out Injustice, which was based loosely based off of the comic book, which is loosely based off the two video games that came out. Cully, what did you think about that?
I thought it was horrible.
Really?
It was horrible. I'm familiar with the Injustice game, but not necessarily the comic book series. But I just, it was just boring. I didn't like the story. They did something really weird with Nightwing that I did like. It was just, I did not. Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry. I did not think it was very good at all. I did not like it. I would not watch it again. I would not recommend it. I even, like, it's one of those things where, like, a couple weeks go by and you forgot you've seen it. Like, that's been my relationship with that Injustice animated movie. And I also didn't like the animation at all. So that's another thing.
Okay. What'd For me, I didn't mind it. It got me curious to see what the comic books were like, because I am very familiar with both the games. I played story mode on both games, and I love the story of the first one. The second one, the story of that is, it's all right. But the game itself is great. And I've read bits and pieces of the comic book. So after watching it, and you know, guys, that Khalid and I are special features kind of guys. So they had an interview with the video game creator, and he talked about the differences between the game and the comic book. And I got so interested when they had their Black Friday, when Comicology had their Black Friday sale. I bought all of the Injustice complete year books, you know, not volumes.
Oh, word?
Yeah. And I'm pretty much
like to read those.
It's on my Comicology. I'll give you the password.
Okay.
I have all 5 years. Well, I borrowed year one, because if I didn't like year one, I wasn't gonna read it. Right. And I read year one. It was like a 428-page book. I read it in like 2 hours.
Oh, damn.
Like, I got into it, bro. Like, I got into it. Tom Taylor, it's the guy that's currently writing Nightwing.
Mm.
And Son of Superman, which is something we'll talk about in a little while. Tom Taylor, he's just brilliant, you know, and he's writing a Marvel series that we'll talk about later called Age of Darkness. He's just on fire with his writing right now. I love what he's doing with Nightwing. But just to go back, there's certain things that's in the comic book that's in the movie. So the thing that happened with Dick Grayson, with him becoming a new dead man, that actually happens in a comic book. It's just better transition.
Did it happen in an Injustice comic book?
Yeah, it's in the Injustice comic book. That's where they got it from.
But how come did you just find that? Because we spoke about it before, and you weren't sure, like you didn't know about it, or you were just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Like,
oh, okay. That's what I'm
saying. Like, I bought every year. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm reading year 5 right now, which leads into the video game.
Mm-hmm.
So Dick Grayson, you know, him dying happens in like year 1 or year 2. And year 3, he becomes
Deadwing.
They don't even mention him as Deathwing in here. He just keeps his name as Dick Grayson.
As they should. It was fucking stupid when they called him that in the animated movie. And did he die the same way as he did in the... like a baton to the head, to the temple?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things they did is just they left out a lot. Like Superman reveals Batman's identity.
Mm.
You know?
I feel like this could have been like just like how they did the Long Halloween and certain other ones, like the Death.
It could have been a part 1, part 2.
Yeah, to really just take time, because it felt very rushed. It felt like, okay, we got to get to this story point. We got to get to this story point. And then just my understanding of the Injustice storyline, it just seemed so dense that you needed a little bit more time to, you know, sit with certain situations, especially with Superman's grieving and processing of Lois's death and the destruction of Metropolis, to him, you know, deciding that he's going to become this tyrant in a sense, and just, you know, take the law into his own hands.
One thing I'll say that both the movie and the comic book did show is a Superman without limits. You know, like, he doesn't have to hold himself back, and you just get to see how powerful he really, really is. And it's just like, well, shit, if he's a badass like this and he's not holding back, sheesh.
You know what I want? I want to get back to classic Superman. Like, so many times in fucking movies and television and comic books, like, we've seen the bad Superman. Like, if you think about all these shows we have, like, the, what's the show on Amazon? The Boys. We have, what's that other cartoon one? Invincible. They, and, like, their main character is, like, some form of bad Superman. You know what I mean? So, like, bad Superman. And even in, like, some of the Snyder films, you see, like, those little glimpses of, like, a bad Superman. So, like, bad Superman, I feel like, is not, like, a rarity anymore as it once was. Oh, what happens if Superman went mad? It's, like, I'm kind of over that whole storyline now and seeing that. Like, I want, like, you know, classic Superman, which is what we're getting from Superman and Lois, which is awesome. But I'd like to see more of that.
Speaking of that, bro, Amy Jo Johnson is directing an episode.
I know. I sent that to you.
I know.
On Instagram. Yeah. We got to
talk about that a little something. That's going to be great. It's good to know that season two is definitely in the swing of things. And it's
going. Yeah, I believe it comes on February, so.
We're almost there.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it comes out in February. So
that's gonna be great. Hopefully they're on, you know, on top of things and on schedule. But going, you know, staying in the CW verse, Flash has come back. They're up to their fourth episode of Armageddon. Kali, you said you haven't been fucking with it, right?
I saw the first part of Armageddon with Pop. And I actually tried to watch the second part, and I fell asleep. And then when I woke up, the third part was ending. So I pretty much missed two parts. I fell asleep during two parts of Armageddon. So I guess it's that Barry Allen goes bad, and Despero comes back to, like, stop him or kill him or whatever. And then he enlists the help of Jefferson to take his powers or some shit like that. I don't know what's going on.
Not gonna lie, it was good to see Chris Williams back in as Black Lightning.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
It was really, really good. It was good seeing him be like that mentor to Barry. Like that, I didn't, you know, when they have like their little fight and they, spoiler alert, you know, the guys have their little tit for tat and Barry fucks up the display case with Oliver's suit. And he's like, oh, I fucked up.
God damn it, Barry. So what, so if you could just let me know, I know I kind of like summed some things up, but what exactly is the story?
So apparently 10 years from now, the Flash destroys the world, or he does some shit. And this alien Despero comes back in from the future to kill the Flash to stop him from doing some shit.
Okay.
You find out that later on that it's Eobard Thawne who is making all this shit happen.
Okay.
So next episode, I don't know if you've seen the stills, but you'll see Flash in the, you'll see Barry in the reverse Flash.
I did see that. And then Eobard's in a Barry suit. I did actually see that. Yeah.
So I feel like the last two episodes is where it's going to get interesting. Thus far for me, it's been kind of lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I, as a fan of the show, I'll still watch it. You know, because I have the CW app, I'll watch it probably
right
the next day. But what I've really gotten into, man, and I can't lie, is Batwoman. I've started watching this season.
Oh, wait. Well, I want to stay with the Flash.
Sorry. My bad.
No. It's okay. I was just, because my question was to you, do you feel like it's a good
crossover?
Yeah, or even like a good start to the season, in your opinion.
As far as the seasons have gone, the past couple seasons, I'd say it's a good start. I'm not going to say it's a great start.
Okay.
It's definitely a better start.
Too early.
To me, it is. I need to see, because I think first off, starting the season off with the event doesn't really inspire much confidence to me.
Because
I feel like you need to establish who your main big bad is.
Yeah.
Before you go into the crisis, because it's like, so okay, so after Armageddon, what's gonna be the problem? Who's gonna be the main villain? Like we don't even know who the main villain is. Normally we'd have some type of inkling of who's gonna be the main villain. We don't have.
I agree.
You know, the only thing we got is yellow boots are coming.
That's kind of sad if that's the only thing they could do to, like, get people excited. Oh, yellow boots. Who, I mean, yes, but in the grand scheme of things of the story, who kind of cares? I don't know. And part of me is just like, you know, it's maybe it's just time to end it. I'm starting to feel like some of these CW superhero shows, they should have a very short shelf life because then they start to get stale. And, you know, we all know I've bitched about that multiple times, so I'm not going to go down that road again. But I do intend to finish Armageddon for sure and, like, watch it. I just need to watch it earlier instead of, like, watching it at, like, 4 a.m. or some shit like that.
All right. I finished it, bro. I finished the Injustice series.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Look really good. But I do think you should watch Armageddon, like just to get yourself geared up for what the season is gonna be. I'm really looking forward to Superman and Lois than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even watch Legends anymore.
Oh really? Nah. Is Legends even on?
Yeah, Legends is on. It's gotten too hokey. Like before it didn't take itself seriously, then it just seemed
went off the rails.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, guys, what happened? It's like you guys forgot the formula.
What season are they on?
Six or seven.
And what day does it come on?
I don't even know anymore, bro.
Because wasn't it on Sunday before? They're like, or that's changed?
No, I don't think it was ever on a Sunday. They always save Supergirl and Batwoman for Sunday.
Oh. It didn't. Supergirl ended.
Yep.
Did you watch the end of Supergirl?
Nope.
All right, so what's been going on with Batwoman? You said you've been checking that out.
So, Mary's the new Poison Ivy.
Okay. I did see that picture.
And how it happened with her is that somehow something was going on and Poison Ivy's vine seemed to take her and she just got infected with whatever. And everybody on the Bat team's going through their own stuff. I like Luke Fox's transition into Batwing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for the helmet much. They gotta fix that goddamn helmet. Javicia Leslie, I'm starting to take her more outside of like my little crush girl. You know, I love you. It's starting to fit more into the role. You got Robin Givens, who comes back as her mother, her biological mother, and the cat.
Oh, shit, that was, for real?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Stone Cold Biatch. Then you have the cat that was in Law and Order Organized Crime. Did you watch that at all?
I've seen like an episode or two, but he plays mm-hmm. like that dude's son or something, right?
Yeah, he's in the show, and I think he's about to become like the new Joker. So How is that gonna happen? So apparently, when he was a kid, the Joker had fucked with a busload of kids, and he had this little electric joy buzzer into the kid's brain, and as the kid was looking at him getting electrocuted, the Joker was just laughing and it fucked with him.
So why do you think that'll lead to him being the new Joker?
Because it's just reverse shit. He's wearing like these loud colors. So where Joker had the purple and green, he has purple and orange. You know what I mean? Motif going on. And he's just laughing. And he's like, yeah, we're going to have fun in Gotham. You know, shit like that. If you see it and you see like the mannerisms and the way he's displaying himself, you'd be able to check it out too.
Oh, no.
I'm giving it a chance. I'm giving it a chance, my boy. I'm giving it a chance.
That makes me nervous.
Don't be nervous. What I do want to talk about that's been so fucking dope. This is really dope. As you guys know, the Blade movie is not getting ready to come out, but it's in pre-production, right? Is that what it's called, Cully?
Yeah, they're in pre-production right now. So the script should be done. From what's going on is that they're casting it right now.
So we got Delroy Lindo, if I said his name correct. And he just got cast into the movie. And man, listen, I'm a big fan of his from when he was in Malcolm X. What other movies was he in?
Malcolm X, Romeo Must Die.
Yeah.
He's in a bunch of stuff. I mean, it's hard to, you know, now that you're like on the spot and you're trying to like name his whole resume, it's hard to come up with it. But he was also recently in the Five Bloods.
Yeah. And he just has like that voice. Like his voice has always been cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like one of those cats where he's like, yo, he has a dope ass voice. Like he got swag. He got swag. And I think he's Jamaican too.
Probably, but I know he's British. He was like born and raised in England from what I understand. But you would never know that because you watch interviews with him. He doesn't really seem to have an accent.
Not even. But that's good news. You know, I can't wait to see what Mahershala Ali is going to do with this.
Yeah, it's going to be fire. I think they're supposed to start filming next summer. So probably won't see the movie till 2023, maybe 2024.
Hey, as long as it's good, I'm here for it.
No, for real.
I'm super here for it. So were there any more castings in that?
No, so far it's just, you know, we got Delroy Lindo and we got Mahershala Ali, and that's it so far.
Okay. Now we're going to go into, we went into Marvel. We're going to go up in the outer space with some Star Trek Discovery.
Okay.
We had what? It's been 3 to 4 episodes that's been out already? Or is it just 3?
3?
Okay.
Yeah, 3 episodes.
So how do you feel about the season thus far, you know, starting out?
I don't really know how I feel about the season thus far. Because I got to watch the 3rd episode again because I was watching it late at night and fell asleep again. And then by the time I woke up, it was ending. But I don't know. It feels weird. I feel like these last 2 seasons of Discovery, we don't physically have a villain, if that makes sense. I felt like the first 2 seasons, we kind of had a clear-cut villain, you know, physical villain. But this one is like, they're like, the villain is like a source of energy that like destroys planets.
It's a spatial rift or
yeah, or which actual. And like something like that feels like it would only be like the storyline for 1 episode, not a couple episodes. You know what I mean? So we're dealing with that for a couple episodes because that just feels like a side story. Like, oh, this is a 1 episode thing. We solved it. We fixed it. On to the next adventure. So it's a little odd that we're spending, at least in my opinion, so much time on this thing. You know, I kind of miss the Kleons. I'm not going to lie. I still watch the show and I still like it, but I felt like it took a slight dip when they did that whole time travel shit. Because I really, really loved it when they had the Kleons and they had Section 31. They're still very much a part of Starfleet. Now it just seems like just because they wanted to do a spinoff or, you know, how do you, you know, tell this story with Kirk and Spock and Captain Pike probably off somewhere and you have these guys, you know, so they're probably like, oh, we'll just use time travel, put them in their own little pocket of the Star Trek universe. So I'm not the biggest fan of it, but, you know, it's still early in the season. But like I said, so far since they did the whole time travel thing, in my mind or in my eyes, this show is taking a bit of a dip. I'm hoping there's a physical villain because I'm not interested in them dealing with this thing the whole season. So
I have mixed reviews myself. Mm-hmm. I think that so far I like this season better than the last season. Last season to me kind of just dragged on a bit to me. You know, I feel like you could have discovered the source of the burn quicker.
Yeah.
And Starfleet didn't have to be a bunch of dicks, but you kind of, with the situation that's going on, you kind of get it. And to me, season two will always be the best season for me.
Season two is with Pike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, season two was really good.
Season two was just amazing. Like, I still go back and watch. That's probably the most frequent season I'll watch.
Yeah. You know, season one or two were just really good. Like, they really did their thing with that.
But people didn't like it.
I don't understand why.
Because people were like, oh, this is not Trek. And it's just like, well, if you think about it, Deep Space Nine wasn't really Trek neither, because Deep Space Nine was serialized.
Yeah, I think people need to understand the franchises they hold dear need to change and adapt. Otherwise, they become extinct. You know what I mean? You got to sometimes mold things and make things accessible for new audiences, because otherwise they'll just fuck off if you just, you know, because it just won't be interesting to them. And as, you know, as sad, not sad, but this is just true, Star Trek has to keep up with Star Wars. Star Wars is a bit more fast-paced, a bit more magical, mythological, you know, and Star Trek always feels a bit more slower and more of a thinking man's kind of thing. Some people just aren't interested in that, you know? But, I mean, like I said, not the biggest fan of the time travel thing. We'll see what happens. We'll see how the story develops. I'm hoping for the best.
Like you said, I'm hoping for the best. For me, I'm not mad at that there's a spatial anomaly. You know, I feel like something like that, even though some of those things could have been fixed in one episode, if this was like TNG or, you know, certain parts of Voyager or whatever. But the fact that, you know, it's the future and not everybody has that lithium, you know, so you can't really go to one edge of space or another. And this thing, and what I like about this, you know, this natural disaster, if you know, for lack of better words or terms, is that it seems to be alive in a sense, because it's able to switch directions at random, you know?
So, you know what it makes me think of?
What's up?
I was just watching Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
I don't know why. Like,
this is that, say that. This is that fucking cloud of a Galactus, which is, it's still not interesting because it's not like the fucking thing could speak or manifest itself as a person. I'm kind of the person who likes physical villains. We could see it. We could reach out and touch it. It could speak to us. It could interact with our main characters. I'm not interested in this force that thinks and can move anywhere and then swallow up planets and leave. That's going to get tiring real fast. But we'll see what happens. Like, it's only been 3 weeks, so. But so far, I don't think there's going to be a centralized main villain for the story. I think it'll be like about this whole planetary thing, and then maybe it'll lead to something. Because there probably won't be that many episodes this season. I mean, shows like that, they usually have like, what, 10 episodes. We're already into episode 3. Yeah, we'll see.
But, you know, so we're out of that portion, but I wanted to talk about just some comic book news that came out. So you know Superman has a son.
Mm-hmm.
And he recently came out as gay or bisexual. Just like Tim Drake did, what, a month or two ago? How do you feel about that? Like, I have some feelings, but it's nothing negative, but it's just, you know, I feel, oh, well, go ahead.
I don't really have much of an opinion on it, to be honest. Like, I think I think it's cool. I think it's fine. Just make sure, you know, you're doing it for the right reasons and not to get a stir, you know, or just like, just say that you did it, you know. I like it better when things are natural. Just like, you know, like just like the same thing with diversity. It's like, I want you to have diversity here, but make it feel natural, not where it's just like you feel you need to have a quota. But I support it. I don't understand what the hoopla is about. I mean, people really just expose themselves as not knowing about really much about comic books when they say, oh, it shouldn't be like this, it should be like that. Like, not to go off on a tangent, when people talk about the X-Men or some shit, and they'll be like, why is the X-Men like this or doing this? I'm like, do you know what the X-Men, like, what the X-Men's based off of and how political the X-Men is? And, like, I don't know. But, sorry, I went up, sorry, talking about the X-Men. I think it's fine. It's no big deal. I'm more so mad at the media because I think the media made it far worse than what it is because they're like, Superman is gay. But then, you know, clearly they don't know shit about comic books and didn't care to say that it was his son that's gay and just, I don't know. But again, oh, bisexual, right? He's bisexual.
I think so.
I have to get that right. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. You know, it's fine. Comics are, you know, all these characters stand the test of different interpretations. Who knows? They may start over, get rid of it. You know what I mean? It's just, they're just doing it. You know what I mean? It's no problem with it. It doesn't, I don't mind. We'll see what happens.
It's just, for me, I don't think is my view is negative. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, who you love or how you love them or whatever. It's just that, you know, a lot of people were upset that they aged Jonathan. So
they could do it.
Yeah. You're not even that they could do it. Cause when Jonathan Kent first came out, when it was him and Damian was 3 years older than him. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan was like 10. He goes on a trip with Jor-El in a Brian Michael Bendis run of Superman. And he comes back and he's like fucking 17. And he was only gone for 5 weeks. You feel me?
Okay.
And so then he goes off into the future where he has a relationship with Saturn Girl. And then he comes back. And then it's like, there was no inkling. You know what I mean?
So it kind of just feels like they did it just like, okay, let's age him up so we can do this bisexual, you know, story.
I don't feel that, but I feel like you aged him up just to put him in these adult situations and technically he's still a kid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he left, he was 10. He comes back 16, 17.
I feel that.
You know, if you're gonna do something like that, create a new character.
But I think maybe they also did that because they want him to be Superman. You know, like, how long should they wait before, you know, this is the issue where he's a couple years older? Especially because, well, if it's my understanding, Kal-El's on like a mission on a different planet, correct?
Yeah, he's on his way to Warworld.
Okay.
Well, actually, he's on Warworld, and Mongo is fucking him up. Something serious. But also, I want to talk. Speaking of Superman, and you know that they have the Superman 78, just like they have Batman 89.
Yeah.
And Brainiac 78 captures Superman, Christopher Reeve style, and he, you see Jor-El and Lara. So you see Marlon Brando's back to life in the comic book form.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's a really good issue. It's really great. And going back to, you guys heard me talk about Tom Taylor. Tom Taylor is the person that, you know, is writing the Son of Superman book, which is where John Kent... excuse me, came out as, you know, in the community, in the LGBTQ++ community. And he's also writing this book called Dark Ages for Marvel, which is where what happens when there's no power, you know, when half of the world is pretty much in like a pre-technological existence.
Kind of folks that go back to the Stone Age and shit like that.
Yeah, that's pretty much kind of what it is. And what happened is that there's this robotic creature that is buried beneath the Earth's core, and the only way to stop him is to do Doctor Strange opens a portal to this universe That's pretty much one large electric magnetic field. And they shut down the robot that way. But when he, before doing that, he kills the Vision, he kills Scarlet Witch, he kills Sue Storm, not Sue Storm. He kills Ben Grimm and he kills Doctor Strange. And Sue Richards is the only one that survives.
I low-key forgot that you like switched gears. I was like, how the hell did we go from DC Comics or talking about Superman to this Marvel thing so quick? But then I remember we did transition a little bit.
Sorry, I'm not as good as you with the transitions,
my boy. No, it was fine. It's just that I'm a little off my game today. I'm like, I don't know, like now just for like work, now just like the way my body feels at a certain time, I feel like I could just crash. It's like once like 7:30 kind of hit, I would be like, damn, I could sleep right now.
Welcome to being an adult, boy.
I'm low-key in that kind of feeling right now.
Nah, it's going to be Twilight. That was pretty much the last thing I was going to talk about with you and everybody else.
Nah, but I do want to give an honorable mention to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Did you watch that trailer?
I didn't watch
it. Bro, you're fucking up. I sent it to you.
I didn't see. Honestly, I haven't been paying attention to my phone
all day. It's literally, it's a two-minute kind of trailer scene. It's you know, it starts with Gwen Stacy coming back to his universe. It's like, oh, you know, come with me, and they end up swinging through the multiverse, and then you meet Spider-Man 2099, and him and Miles end up kind of tussling a little bit, and that's kind of like how it ends, and you find out that it's going to be a two-part movie.
Ooh.
So the first part comes out October 2022, and then the second part is the following year. But they didn't miss a beat, bro. The animation looks fantastic. I really fucking love Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. In my opinion, that could possibly be the best Spider-Man movie. Some people say that, and I'm kind of of that.
Of that feeling too.
It's really, I love Into the Spider-Verse. Such a good movie, and I'm so glad that they got a sequel on that. Like, we're getting not one but two more movies, so that's exciting. But you got to watch that trailer. For those of you guys, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the trailer came out yesterday night because they're having like some type of Brazilian Comic-Con, so I guess they released it for that. But check out the preview on YouTube; it looks really good. If you're a fan Into the Spider-Verse. Okay, yeah. I just didn't want to forget to mention that because that kind of just popped up in my head randomly.
That's dope stuff.
Yeah.
But guys, I want to apologize. You know, it took us a little while to get on our shit and, you know, give you an episode, but I promise we're going to get back on it. That word to the blurredness goodness, you know. Word to the blurred goodness, not word to the blurredness goodness. You know, maybe I'm getting tired of my damn self, but thank you guys for rocking with us. Please, please, please follow us on Instagram. Word to the Blur podcast. We're up there. You can find me, drummer_nerd89. And Kali, what's yours? Killer Smile?
Killer Smiles, yeah, with a Z. So Killer Smiles 5. It's either Killer Smiles or Killer Smiles 5. I can't really remember, but maybe I can answer that question right now for you.
No, either way, you know, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook.
Killer Smiles 5, sorry.
Either way, check us out. We love you guys. Thank you guys for rocking with us. You know, we're going to be back at it. And we're going to have some more stuff to talk about as the weeks come by. So we love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, with that being said, this is Two.
This is Cal.
Word to the Blurred, baby.
Word to the Blurred with Two and Cal. Good night.
Good night.
Or good day, whenever you're listening to this. Peace.